Hey guys, welcome to the e-commerce paradise high ticket dropshipping podcast. Today I have on the show Scott Hawksworth. He is the marketing director behind Soar Payments, a company that provides merchant account services, that is payment services for high risk merchants. So if you're selling some sort of a CBD oil product or credit repair service or magazine sales, or there's lots of different product categories that Shopify payments won't actually work for. Soar Payments does work for that. So I'm really excited to have him on the show. He's going to talk a lot about how his company can offer you the benefit of providing merchant services and not costing a whole lot of money. With that said, welcome to the podcast, Scott.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on because it's a really trending subject and there's a lot of conversation about this just because a lot of these industries are, you know, pretty new. Some of them are older. Something like CBD oil and CBD products are so trendy right now and so popular. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the Soar payment services and how you guys differentiate yourselves from the rest of the payment providers?
Absolutely. So, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we work with high risk businesses or as we might also say, hard to place businesses. And, you know, the reality is that there are so many great businesses out there in industries where maybe more traditional payments processors and things like that, for whatever reason, they don't want to work in those spaces. And so, you know, when someone finds themselves in that situation, what we do is we work to help them get placed with a bank who will underwrite and work with those types of businesses and get set up with a unique merchant account. I don't want to get too technical here, but it is a little different than signing up for Square or Stripe or something like that. A lot of people are surprised about that. But basically what we do is we help them get that account, and then because we understand their businesses, we know, you know, exactly where the pain points might be in terms of the whole approval process. We know what the banks want to see and what they don't want to see and things like that. So we really help try to walk the merchant or these business owners through the whole process from start to finish. And then, you know, assuming everything is great and the bank says, hey, you're approved, then we help them get set up and processing. And then from there, it's just a matter of, you know, as they grow, as they say, hey, I need more volume or, you know, can you help me with this or whatever? We are kind of that point of contact where we can help them throughout the entire process. And hopefully they, you know, they keep running their business for years and years, and it goes great.
Yeah, I think that's really, really cool. So there's a lot of these niche industries out there now.
Yeah.
Have been for a while, but some of them are very trendy and some aren't. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the specific niches that you find that people are really able to make best use of this kind of a service from?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll start with one that is, it's kind of interesting because it's changing. So CBD, you know, you mentioned that at the top. That's one of those things that I think recently, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago, it was recently signed that, okay, CBD is now legal in the United States, for example, because we specialize, we work with US-based businesses and owners. So this is a big change. And one of the things with the payments industry is there are a lot of banks, there are a lot of moving parts, and sometimes things are slow to change. So with CBD, for example, we do work with those businesses, but at this point, there's a challenge with CBD startups because not every bank wants to work with them. So, you know, that's an example of something that is changing as the weeks go on. You know, we're always looking out like, okay, what banks, what are they wanting to see? You know, who can work with it? What kind of caveats do they have about working with CBD? So that's on the horizon, but that's one of the big ones that's really trendy right now, as you mentioned. But in terms of other businesses that we work with, credit repair, you mentioned that. That is a big one for us. We've had a lot of success with that. And, you know, credit repair, that is something where, you know, for folks, if you are unaware, basically people sometimes have, you know, issues on their credit report. They have something that they don't want on there or was in fact, you know, shouldn't be on their credit report. There's all sorts of mistakes and things like that. And sometimes there's people who are just wanting to improve their credit. Well, credit repair businesses specialize in helping individuals do that. But by its very nature, that business is seen as risky, as high risk by banks because, you know, you're working in credit repair. There's a greater risk for chargebacks because there are some people who just have really bad credit and you're kind of doing a business where you work with those individuals, right? So we specialize in helping credit repair businesses, especially startups. We have worked with lots of startups, get set up and start, you know, processing payments and helping that way. We also work in nutraceuticals. So for those who don't know, that's just, you know, any kind of products, vitamins, you know, we work in like beauty and cosmetics, a lot of things that are going to be sold via e-commerce, which, you know, again, makes it a harder to place, riskier business, because the card is not present and things like that. And there's all sorts of rules when it comes to nutraceuticals. There's all sorts of, you know, ingredients that you can and cannot have. And, you know, some banks just kind of, and payment processors just sort of wash their hands of the whole thing and say, nope, you're selling Nutra products. We cannot work with you. So those are another example of businesses that, that we do work with. You mentioned magazine sales. That's another one. And we also do work with firearms, firearms sellers, even firearms online or ammunition. Again, this is one thing that is considered just harder to place because certain banks just don't want to work with firearms. Yet these are solid businesses. These are, you know, they have great revenue, great customer service, all these kinds of things, and they need a home. They need to be able to, you know, process transactions via credit cards because, you know, it's 2019 and who doesn't want to pay for something with a credit card. So we can help them. And really the thing that we bring to the table is just understanding their business models, you know, for firearms, for example, understanding, okay, here are the, you need the FFL license, you need this, this, and this. Here are the rules, you know, you're selling, you know, you're wanting to sell gun parts on a site on via e-commerce. Okay, well, if you all the gun parts could be used to create a gun, then you need an FFL license. You know, making sure that all the merchants are compliant, that the bank is comfortable, and all these kinds of things. That's really the role that we fulfill.
Yeah, it's fascinating that how the banks kind of don't want to work with certain companies, and I figure that's probably partly due to laws, and the other part is due to high risk of chargebacks. Am I right in assuming that?
Yeah. So chargebacks is really one of the big things. You know, banks, they have a threshold and I think this is important to state because sometimes I get calls from customers, or, you know, or potential merchants that want to work with us and they're surprised. They think, well, you're high risk. So, you know, we have chargebacks of 10%. Is that a problem? It's like, well, yes, that is a problem. Because normally, you know, in a lower risk business, the chargeback ratio, which is basically dividing the amount of money that's been charged back in a given month by the amount of money that was processed. Okay. So that chargeback ratio, normally traditional banks, they want that well below 1%. Well, in a high risk space, you can actually go over 1% chargebacks. You can go up to 2%. If you start getting above 2% though, you're gonna have a bad time. And even banks working in high risk spaces will close your account down. So, but that is one of the big ones. There's that kind of gap between, you know, below 1% to, you know, approaching 2%, where some businesses just kind of fall in that. And it's almost, you know, you can do everything you can to reduce chargebacks. And we also help merchants do that too, because, you know, that's your lifeline. You don't want those chargebacks. You want to keep your account in good standing and all of that. But, so we can help people reduce those, but a lot of businesses do fall into that range, and that does qualify them as high risk because a traditional processor won't necessarily want to work with them or will just shut them down if they say, hey, yeah, your chargeback ratio is 1.5%. Sorry, thanks for playing.
Yeah, I've had that happen a few times now, and it's interesting because the certain payment providers, like example Shopify payments, you know, they might send out an email for a new store or something like that, saying that we need to check your documents, your EIN and LLC and everything, make sure everything matches up. But most of the high ticket dropshipping product categories don't really fall into this kind of stuff. Whereas I think that some of the stuff is high ticket. It's just that we don't necessarily usually like sell things that are, I guess, what would you call it? Like more risky or something like that. But there's tons of people out there that do. And it's just really fascinating that, you know, they really need to find a better solution. There's a lot of times that you'll run into these issues. But it costs more. And that's the biggest pain in the butt, I think, for us and for our clients, is that oftentimes Shopify, like, they'll charge an extra 2%. You have to use a payment processor that's not their Shopify payments for accepting credit cards and stuff like that. Do you guys offer, is there like a way to avoid that kind of extra fee?
Unfortunately, no. You know, the reality is, and it's kind of a harsh reality, when you are working in a high risk space, you have less banks that want to process you. You have less payment processors. So let's just say that there's an unequal balance there, and you know they're going to charge more. And it also kind of makes sense when you think about it, because you know, if something is riskier, you get a higher interest rate, right? Yeah. If a loan is exactly. riskier. So when you're doing payment processing, you know, if you are working in a space where there are less options, where your business itself is harder to place, you know, it's harder to get a loan, so to speak, well, then you're going to have to pay a larger premium for that. That said, obviously, we work to try to have the lowest rates possible for all the merchants we work with, you know, because that's, I totally get it. I mean, that this is your livelihood. This is, you know, there's so many businesses out there that have, you know, thinner profit margins as it is. So, you know, something like processing fees really can cut into those margins. And we're aware of that. So we are always working to get our merchants the best deal possible. And I think another important thing to mention is, like anything, I really go back to that sort of idea of risk, because what we see with a lot of startups who are processing for the first time, okay, you'll start at this rate, but as you grow, and then as you establish, you know, what we would call a processing history, so you're basically showing the bank, hey, look, I'm good. I'm not having lots of chargebacks. I'm not doing any fraud. We're processing great. Hey, look at us. We're staying under our volume, and we're really growing and all this. Well, after, you know, oftentimes 3 to 6 months, sometimes more, what we can do is, if things are looking really good and they're ready to increase their volume, business is booming, well, you can go to the bank and you can say, hey, can we take a look at these rates? Can we lower them a little bit? And then the bank can then make their decision. They can look at that history. They can look at your volume and say, yeah, sure, or no, or whatever. But the point is that there are always options to lower that. And we want to work with the businesses to help them do that, because you're right, it's tough. But at the end of the day, you know, and I kind of end with this, is the reality is if you are in a high risk space, there is going to be unavoidable additional fees and payments that you have to pay. And it's just, unfortunately, the nature of the beast.
Yeah, that makes sense. But also, I was just thinking while you were saying that, is that any of these business models would definitely probably be a lot higher margin as well than a lot of like the regular models that would normally fit an okay payment processing for a bank. And you know, a lot of the things like CBD, probably high margin. Credit repair, obviously it's a service, SEO, coaching, web design development, stuff like that. And a lot of these style of companies or service providers even go through marketplaces like Upwork and Fiverr to offer their services, and then those marketplaces, they handle the processing of the payments through their own providers and stuff like that, right? So people that do it on their own, I think obviously you're going to cut those costs out of dealing with those third party marketplaces. So there's a little bit of an additional cost that, you know, comes with that process, but it's probably worth it because you get to keep your own email list. You get to keep your own social media audience, follow up with people, retarget people for more back end services and stuff like that. So it makes a lot of sense still.
Absolutely. And one thing I'd add to this too, and I'm just thinking of this now because I think it's worth mentioning, you're also sort of the additional fees. When we place businesses, we do all, we walk them through the underwriting process at the beginning. So basically the bank is looking at your business and deciding to approve you, looking for, you know, any issues and things like that, and then approving you. One thing that's different about some of the other payment processors is you can sign up and you're just instantly approved, right? You're just, you know, you sign up and you can process same day. Well, the problem with that is that sometimes people run into a case where, okay, they were selling a product or service and they got approved by Stripe or whoever, and they're going and they got their site set up and they're selling and they're like, this is great, I'm so happy. Yeah. And then next thing you know, they get an email we're shutting your account down. You can no longer accept credit card payments on your website.
Yeah.
And they're kind of left there holding the bag. And let me tell you, you know, I've had so many phone conversations with people who are, you know, legitimately and understandably so, you know, panicked and stressed. And they're like, I've got employees, I've got all this, and I just got shut down. I can't accept credit cards. And so obviously we work with them and we help get them set up. But the thing is that cost there of losing that amount of revenue and things like that for where you couldn't accept credit cards, let me tell you, you would much rather pay a slightly higher per transaction fee or something for a high risk merchant account than have a situation where you've got to go days or weeks or whatever without being able to accept credit cards.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So as far as the platforms you guys work with, you work with Shopify, you work with ClickFunnels, I'm assuming, and any platform, right, that just normally does e-commerce. Are there any particular ones that you want to mention?
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Shopify, WooCommerce is another one we work with, ClickFunnels as well, absolutely. And we work with all of these various platforms because one thing we do is we help people get set up with the payment gateway. So, and I think this is sometimes people are a little unsure about how the whole ecosystem sort of works. But essentially, when you are getting a merchant account with us, you're getting a merchant account with a bank. The bank is underwriting you. That is your merchant account. You're not on someone else's account. You're not on what would be called a PayFac, which is something like Stripe or Square, where you're kind of using their own separate account. You know, you are a sub merchant of Stripe rather than directly with the bank that Stripe works with. That's just an important distinction there. So essentially, what we do is we will get you set up with that merchant account. And then once you're approved, we just set you up with a payment gateway. The two big ones we work with are NMI and Authorize.net. And those gateways connect with pretty much everything that would be, a reasonably popular service. So like the WooCommerces, the Shopify's, all that of the world. And it's really easy to just get connected and say, okay, yes, the payment gateway is Authorize.net, and then you can start processing.
That's interesting. I think a lot of people, like when they first get into e-commerce, myself included, don't really understand how payment gateways work in the first place. Obviously, it's just a way to accept payments, and then okay, so the payment's accepted, it lands in my checking account. That's all I care about. Let me do more sales. You know, can you maybe just like explain that again in a little bit more in depth? Is how the whole process of payment accepting and processing works. I know that like with Chase, they have a direct gateway system. You can work with them directly on it. And like you said, Authorize.net, mm-hmm. other things are kind of like a, I guess, what would you call that? A third party gateway or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. And really, I mean, gateway is what it sounds like. It's essentially just a doorway. It's just, you know, we open this up and then it facilitates passing these credit card numbers through and the money through and all that, and just facilitates the transfer of data almost, right? So that's what the gateway does. Now, it gets a little confusing because some gateways you can actually, they can offer processing services like Authorize.net. So that's where it gets a little confusing. But the gateway itself is just, you know, facilitating this transaction. But behind any payment gateway, there is a payment system. And that is whether it's Shopify Payments or Chase Payment Tech or Stripe or Square or one of our merchant accounts. These are where you have the back end where it's actually working with a bank. You know, when you kind of go down the stream, eventually you're going to end up with a bank, a processing bank. And that is where the actual, hey, the money is changing hands in the background, so to speak. And that is really what kind of underpins these sort of surface level things like the payment gateway. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. And so it sounds like Store Payments, what you guys really offer, is a great solution for somebody who is in a high risk industry or is just getting denied for whatever reason and from their current payment gateways, or they're thinking about getting into one of these high risk industries and they just need a better solution. Someone who's going to kind of hold their hand and help them figure out this process and get them through so that they can just start working more on what they're really good at, which is like sales and marketing and selling the stuff, as opposed to trying to figure out all this nonsense about, you know, payment gateways.
Absolutely. You know, we want people to get to focusing on what really matters for their business, which is just, you know, marketing and sales and growing and all that good stuff. And sort of this back end, it's a complex world. And one of the big things too is so many people, they may not know that they're hard to place. And they may not know exactly how all this works. And so, you know, we want to really be that kind of information source for them, because to take that off their plate, because there's nothing worse than when people find out, oh, I was high risk. What? You know, I can't get an account with this bank. Why? You know, I have a legitimate business. And it can be frustrating. So what we try to do is really make that easier and kind of hold out a hand and say, it's okay, we got you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And are you guys able to help negotiate better rates and stuff like that as well for the processors or the banks?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, you know, as a business grows and as they establish their history and things like that, we work side by side with our merchants to say, hey, you know, okay, let's reach out to the bank and say, hey, can we get a lower rate for them and things like that. You know, really we consider ourselves to be the advocate for our merchants. You know, we offer merchant services on just so many levels, and really what we want is we want to be their business partners almost, and kind of be that connection between the bank and them to really help their account go smoothly and help them do the best they can in terms of their business.
That's cool. One thing I wanted to kind of talk about as a topic of conversation here is cryptocurrency, just because it's so trendy and it, you know, it's still something that a lot of e-commerce store owners haven't really broken into yet. Are you guys mm-hmm. working with people that want to accept crypto and maybe, you know, that how is that working if your guys' business? Do you guys help with that kind of thing?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. And, you know, on my podcast, which, you know, you were on, of course, I've had a lot of episodes talking about cryptocurrency. And it's something that is, I must confess, it's a little bit of a pet project of mine, because I see where things are going. And right now, at least with our business, we aren't seeing a lot of merchants say, hey, I want to accept crypto. How do I do that? I have yet to get a question like that. And I think, you know, I just recently had an episode where I interviewed a guy who has kind of been pounding the pavement, going around shops in New York, trying to get merchants, businesses to start accepting crypto and kind of telling them all about it and things like that. So we're not exactly working with it's just the times they are changing, to quote Bob Dylan. It is just completely becoming this groundswell, and I just think, as you know, with cryptocurrency, more and more solutions are coming out, tech solutions to help solve some of the biggest issues, which I think are kind of hold it back right now. For example, just the volatility of the pricing. That's why when you get down to the merchant level, when you get down to, you know, businesses and e-commerce, it's just a little tougher when it's like, okay, I'm accepting Bitcoin. You know, I accepted this kind of Bitcoin for this product. Actually, oh, Bitcoin just went down in price, so I just had a huge loss on that product I sold via Bitcoin. Yeah. You know, that kind of lack of stability, I think, is a pretty big hurdle. And you know, like I said on my podcast, I've talked to so many different folks who recognize these types of challenges and are working round the clock to try to solve it. You know, there's things like the Lightning Network, you know, and smart contracts and all these kinds of technical things that I still only, you know, kind of understand. but bottom line, it's coming. It's something that we haven't reached that sort of inflection point where everyone's asking about it, but I think that it is absolutely going there. And I'm constantly, you know, our job is to keep our ears to the ground, to kind of listen and really see where things are going, whether it be CBD, whether it be crypto, whether it be something else, and really kind of keep an eye out for what's coming next in the world of payments. And 100%, I do believe it's going to be cryptocurrency is going to keep growing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I believe the same thing. I mean, crypto, it just provides this solution that's outside of any central bank. It's directly person to person and it's encrypted. You know, so I mean, there's everything you need in it. It just kind of needs this universal trust to be built around it. To maybe, you know, like it seems like it has hit the mainstream, or it did a bit ago, like as far as the investing world goes, kind of like the day trading mm-hmm. world. A lot of people jumped into it. I know that some musicians made a lot of money because they sold their albums with cryptocurrency, accepting cryptocurrency for that, Bitcoin and such, and it went up a lot. And then, of course, you know, they made some money there. But with the fluctuations, it's kind of hard for people in the mainstream to get into it. I figure, okay, so once it becomes a little bit more stable and mainstream accepted, it's probably going to be something that's actually really cool, because it's kind of like cash in a sense, right? Like, you mm-hmm. know, directly transact. I guess it's a little bit higher risk right now just because people don't know about it. So there's kind of a thing. It's funny with the US dollar, everybody knows and trusts it, but that's really the only thing that backs it, right?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
In reality, it's like, okay, the US dollar really is only there because you trust it. So if you trusted cryptocurrency, it would be just as powerful or just as strong or whatever, real. So yeah, it's interesting how the people don't really understand it yet, and that's why there's not as much trust there.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing I'd add to this too, just from a business standpoint, you know, I see the way, like, if we were to start, you know, on a large scale, like helping set merchants up with cryptocurrency, you know, to accept payments and things like that, or have some kind of you know, business relationship where that was taking place. You know, we work in merchant services, so I can see it as like an addition. So it's like, okay, you can accept credit cards, you can accept this, you can accept that. And oh yeah, you can accept Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever. And one thing I think that from a business case is just the idea of giving customers more options to pay you basically to, you know, and that's why, you know, with credit cards, it's like, oh yeah, Visa, Master, Discover, or whatever, you know, you want to have all of that. And just like that, I consider cryptocurrency or allowing people, if they want to, you know, do ACH or just directly send you money or whatever it is, giving customers more options, that is, it's just so obvious that that will increase sales because it's, you know, people pay with all different kinds of things now. And you have people working in foreign currencies and things like this. And, you know, maybe they don't want to deal with all of the fees that have, you know, that you can get hit with when you're trying to change your yen to dollars and whatever you're doing. So having all of these options, especially if you are running a online store where you might have customers that are coming from anywhere around the world. I mean, what that is just to me directly increases your bottom line.
True. Yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, about the whole making it easier to accept payments thing is that, you know, I was just shopping online. I was looking to buy a course on fitness, and I went into one, and about maybe 2 weeks ago, I looked at into checking out, and then he only accepted regular credit cards. And I was, you know, I'm 31 years old. I'm kind of in that generation where it's like, okay, whipping out my credit card and looking at it and typing the numbers, it's just such a pain in the butt. I'm really not going to go through that process. So I just closed mm-hmm. out the window and thought maybe, you know, he'll retarget me again later with an ad. And sure enough, he does. And so today I was like, yeah, let me look at this again. Maybe he's accepting PayPal this time. And sure enough, he accepts PayPal. And so for me, it's way easier because I know my login information. I can log into PayPal within a couple moments. They've got my credit card hooked up already. It just takes like two or three clicks and boom, I was able to pay. And so like that guy wasn't making any money from me before. You know, his course isn't that much money. It was like 50 bucks or something, but now he made 50 bucks. And so that could just make the difference with your bottom line in your business as a merchant as to, you know, how you accept payments. And with people that have Bitcoin wallets and stuff like that, I'm not sure because I don't have one, but it's probably pretty simple to use. And if it isn't, then it should be. And I'm sure it will be eventually. Very simple to use, where it's just like a multi-touch system. And I know with things like Apple Pay, it's literally just putting your thumb on the phone for a second and you're paid for the product. So there's lots of cool stuff. And as technology improves, physical technology and how it melds into the actual digital technology that we're improving the software, I think people like to buy things, they really enjoy the process of buying stuff that's good for them. I think that they'll do it more often. So for merchants, it just makes way more sense to work with these types of platforms that do that.
Absolutely. We are constantly, you know, in the world of payments, in the world of, you know, credit cards and merchant services and things like that. All commerce really is moving towards, you know, more ease of use, more integrations, more technology, improving to make things quicker, easier, cheaper. That's what everything's moving forward. So I think everyone who is in an e-commerce space, whether you're like us in your store payments, whether you're just starting, you know, your new Shopify store, finding out how to make things as efficient as possible for customers and as many options as possible and as painless as possible. That's where everything's moving and it's going to keep going that way. So, you know, get on the train.
Really exciting for merchants and especially entrepreneurs that want to get going with the e-commerce stuff. Because I talk to a lot of people all the time that want to start one of these businesses. And a lot of them are, you know, they're working a job and, you know, they make a lot of money, but they have no time. You know, they want to spend more time with their family. They want to spend more time doing things they want to do. They want to travel more and stuff like that. And so e-commerce is a great way to go because you can sell products, sell services online, potentially do it location independent if you're working with suppliers or you're, you know, working with a team doing a marketing agency kind of thing or doing affiliate marketing, whatever you want to do. But online business is the way to become like this location independent entrepreneur. And you know, it's just like the way of the future. And yet it's so kind of underground still in a sense. Like I look at the subscriber numbers for the channels on YouTube that talk about this kind of stuff. And they're only in like the maybe at the most tens of thousands. Whereas like, you know, subscribers for like a vlog channel, just random vlog channel, is going to be in the multi-millions. So it just goes mm-hmm. to show like it's still very underground, this kind of thing. And yet at the same time, it's such a big, big industry. It's really exciting to see the growth right now. I feel like we're still kind of in the wild west of everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, one thing I think too, in terms of just entrepreneurialness, because I have that entrepreneur gene and I think it's just such a great thing, is, you know, you the ability to build your own store, and then there's just almost you know, it seems risky being an entrepreneur because it's scary and you have to kind of venture out on your own and figure things out and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, you know, you get that business running, you know, you don't have someone who's going to be your boss breathing down your neck and could just, you know, on a whim fire you because, you know, whatever, something happened in accounting and they can't use you anymore. It's one of those things where you're building something that can be anywhere and it can support your lifestyle and your life. And if you're doing really well at it, you can live very, very well and have a security of, hey, I have this e-commerce store. And as long as I'm processing payments and, you know, treating my customers right and delivering on time and whatever, I'm good. I mean, and that, how incredible is that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's an incredible feeling. And yeah, the only thing I think that is the biggest difference maker is moving from one lifestyle to another. Obviously, it's just mindset. And there's so much stuff on mindset out there. But I mean, truly, like, it does come down to that in a sense, because I get a lot of people that write me things like, oh, you know, I don't have the money, or like, I'm afraid, or something like that. And just tell them, like, okay, so you're working a job, so you get paid every couple of weeks or whatever, you know, like, you're going to get money again. Just try to cut your expenses, you know, try to live frugally, and then take that extra money that you're not spending anymore and put it into your marketing budget so you can get your store off the ground. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are kind of scared, you know, they're like, I don't know. And it's like, all right, well, you're starting a high-risk store in a high-risk industry because it's higher profit margins. And I get it. Like, there's fears that are going to be associated with that, but there's people out there that are going to be able to help you. So I think the key here, especially for any entrepreneur, is that you have to stop thinking like you have a job and start thinking like a business owner. So build your team is like the number one tip I would have for anybody who's going to start as an entrepreneur. And especially when mm-hmm. these high risk industries, you have to work with a team of people. And this includes working with any company like Soar Payments, hiring freelancers or hiring experts or just hiring like a customer service, you know, employee, that kind of thing. Having a team behind you to back you to grow your business for you. To do the tough work when you don't really want to, you wake up one day, you feel like crap, you don't want to do the work, it still needs to get done. It's a business, right? So it's essential. So
right. That's the flip side to the entrepreneurial lifestyle too, is you know, some people, I don't know if they fully understand, you know, like, hey, if you don't do it or if you haven't done the work to set up a team that'll be doing it, then it doesn't get done. And Brad in accounting isn't going to do it for you.
And your boss is your client and they're going to be breathing down your neck.
Right, right. Yeah. It's not just, you don't have to just avoid, you know, Bill Lumberg. It's you've got customers.
Your customer is your boss. Yeah. That's what it turns into eventually. But if you put people in front of you, kind of like you look at a chessboard and you're the king or whatever, you know, and you have your row of pawns and you got your knight and your rook and your bishops and all that stuff, then you got people fighting for you, you know, you got people doing the hard work for you. I think that's, it's important to understand, you know, like that's why every big business is built, and hiring A players is really good. And it sounds like Sword Payments is an A player. So I'm really excited that, that you guys are doing what you're doing. You offer really good services to people that need them.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's what we try to do. And, you know, like I said earlier, we kind of, it's our job to know what's going on in the payments industry. It's our job to know what's going on in these industries, whether it be CBD or credit repair or even a traditional retail business, which we also do work with. So, you know, it's our job to know that. And I think as an entrepreneur, there's also a part when you're the founder, you're also the CEO usually. And it's your job to also find the experts and kind of manage this whole thing, and it's even better and more efficient for you rather than having to learn everything there is to know about payments, which is, believe me, a labyrinth, as we've kind of been discussing today. Rather than having to know that personally, finding someone who does, finding a service that does, and working with that, I think that's a huge win. And then that's more time in your pocket, which then can translate into money in your pocket, as you can focus on the things that you do best and you know more.
Exactly. Or just live the life that you really want to live, because this is right.
Or go to the beach and sip a pina colada, whatever you want to do with that time.
Sometimes it's more valuable than, you know, spending time building your business, in a sense. We all need a break and a vacation every so often, right?
Absolutely. That's something I started a number of businesses, and that's something I kind of have learned just in my life, is the importance of that kind of time to just unplug completely. I think sometimes entrepreneurs get caught in just a whirlwind of, well, because I have to be responsible for this entire business, I have to do everything and be stressed out. And you're less efficient, you're less productive, you're less of everything if you're never taking any time to kind of sit back and smell the flowers, as they say.
That's true. I agree with that 100%. So if somebody wants to get started with Sword Payments, where should you tell them to go, or what kind of process should they go through?
Yeah. So if you want to get started with Sword Payments, really easy, go to SoarPay.com. And then you'll see there is a big green apply now button. You can click on that. And then essentially what we'll have is just a few short questions about your business. And then there's a few, documents that we'll need. And of course you can see all that when you go, and you'll just upload that. And then, we generally try to give people a quote, you know, instantly. You'll hear back, and then we'll go from there.
Awesome. That's really cool. It sounds like an easy process. And, you guys have a podcast, and of course I was on it, and it's really fun to talk about the, you know, nuances of our particular business model when it comes to payments. Where can people find that podcast, and you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's called PayPod, the Payments Podcast. And, of course you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere, there, but you can also go to our, show hub, which is soarpay.com/podcast. And you can see all our latest stuff. If you were interested in any of the crypto I was talking about, we've got a lot of episodes about that. Of course, we had you, Trevor, on, which was just a great show as well. And we cover all sorts of interesting things in the worlds of payments and financial technologies, you know, things that I think are really exciting and interesting, even if it doesn't directly impact your business. It's really just a fascinating show I've tried to put together.
That's awesome. And just so much fun listening to shows about different facets of business. I think that one of the main things that I have done over the past that's given me the ability to succeed very well is just opening my mind to all these other types of businesses and the way business is done in general, just enjoying in general, like marketing materials and marketing podcasts and things like that. It's a lot of fun. And honestly, it's a great passion of mine. I'm sure the listeners, you know, very passionate about building businesses and marketing as well. So you definitely enjoy that. Go check it out at PayPod, you guys. And I'm going to include the link in the description as well. The podcast, this will be on YouTube as well. So just click the link in the description. You'll get swordpay.com or PayPod podcast as well. And yeah. So it was really fun having you on, Scott. Thanks so much for being on the E-Commerce Paradise High Ticket Dropshipping Podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Trevor. Great time. Cool.